On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
I want to talk about the season as a whole. This was an absolutely chaotic season from the start. And obviously you guys persevered and, you know, made it to the ultimate goal. But let's start first with just dealing with the lockout at the beginning and the delayed spring training and just the lack of communication that we were able to have with guys. Like, how did you guys prepare for them to show up? And then how did you make adjustments when guys showed up either better or worse than you anticipated?
So initially I think Wes and I sat down for a while and kind of talked through some things, but basically we had to assume that players did nothing over the lockout. I think that was the approach that we took, was, hey, we're all hopeful that these guys are doing what they should be doing and preparing for the season, but worst case scenario is they didn't do anything, so let's prepare like they did nothing and how do we go from there. And so we took the approach, we sat down with the coaching staff, laid out a whole plan, especially when it comes to throwing volume and, you know, running volume with position players. So throwing volume with pitchers, running volume with position players, and kind of built out a model up and reverse engineered it from, you know, what we want to see, you know, opening day slash the first 2 weeks of the season to, you know, the beginning of spring training, whenever that were to start. And so we reverse engineered it and came out with a plan. And we actually took a lot of heat for it, especially when it came to position players, because I think, you know, 5 days into camp or whatever, we started games. And I think we played the Cardinals, if I remember right, game one of spring training last year. And they had, I think, like 7 or 8 of their starters in the lineup, and we had 0 of our starters in the lineup for the first like 2 weeks. And that was to our plan and what we wanted to do. Yes. Did they get less at live at bats in game? Yes. But we had other plans and other things that we did with our players behind the scenes to get them prepared for the season. But we built out a pretty unique model and kind of took a lot of research and exercise and things that we've seen work in the past when it comes to lockouts, whether it's the NFL or, you know, NBA or whatever, NHL, other big sports and the lockouts and what we've learned. And if you look at any of that data, a lot of it shows that, you know, injury rates can spike extremely high right out of the get-go after a lockout, just because of the short amount of time and amount of like ramp up. But so we kind of slow played the buildup from a sprinting standpoint, from a throwing standpoint, and we ensured that the players were ready to go. We did a unique thing within the gym in terms of hamstring protocols with our players, and we kind of did like a high, medium, low model with collaborating with the coaching staff in terms of on-field work as well. And luckily we got through spring training pretty unscathed and did a great job there. Got guys exactly what they needed, but then not only in spring training, we had to go into the season as well. And our schedule kind of allowed us to do some things where the first, Wes, what do we start, 2 weeks on the road or 12 games on the road? I think right out of the gate, out of spring training, we were on the West Coast. So going from Florida to the West Coast, and I think it was like 12 games right out of the gate that we started on the road. But we had some off days mixed in there. So we monitor workload and playing time with our guys and our coaching staff. And I'm going to tip my cap to the coaching staff because they listened and believed in what we were, you know, presenting them, and they trusted the process, and luckily it worked out well. But yeah, so we took a very unique approach early on with our guys because we, as a collective whole, decided, you know, I'd rather our guys get through April healthy than us win a lot in April and then guys get hurt in late April or May. We need our guys healthy for August, September, October, November. And if we have guys, you know, going down with season ending injuries that early, then we're going to be, you know, in big trouble. So we took the big picture approach and kind of went from there.
Yeah, the one thing that I think was, in my opinion, was pretty good that we did. I remember Terry came up with an idea of creating a survey. And we, as soon as the guy comes to the facility to do his physical, there's a survey station where we have a computer. It was like, how many questions? Like 10?
I think it was, yeah, like 7 or something. It was short survey.
So it was like basically asking the player, you know, how active he was and how much he was doing, how much, you know, he was sprinting and jogging, doing conditioning, things like that. So I think that actually helped, because then after that, we sat down and just went over the whole thing about each player. Yeah, you're not going to believe 100% when he said that, but I give you an idea of where they had and how much stuff they were doing. And about the, we started spring training. I remember sitting down, we sat down with some of the guys and we went over his whole plan and their entire spring training, and things were changing every week. You know, hey, now I want to play now. No, we told you that you should wait another 5 days. No, I want to play right now. So it was always having conversations with those guys, but our coaching staff was so good about that stuff. That really, it's, they were like the main thing on that thing that we did with the guys. And the other thing was making sure guys went into the weight room and got 2 lifts per week, at least 2 lifts per week. We made sure that they did that during the entire time of spring training. And other than that, I think you kind of said everything that we did, and it worked out pretty well. So gotta make sure that we do it again next year.
There's a lot of very real stuff in this. Before we even get to the regular season and the playoff run, there's a couple of things that stand out to me here. One is that the coaches bought into the plan, right? And I think that is really, really important. Is we, most of the time, we have an understanding of where we want to go and we reverse engineer the process, like you said, Taylor, and then we have this great plan, you know, let's just stick to it. And then all of a sudden the coaches are like, no, we're not going to do it. Or to Wes's point, like you lay it out to the player, players all in, and then 2 days later they get antsy and they're like, no, we got to make an adjustment here, right? Like sticking to your guns, and although it may be unorthodox or unique or outside the box, like knowing what the end goal is and having that in mind and like getting everybody on the same page is so, so important. And it's really genuinely hard to do sometimes in this game because there are so many people involved in these decisions. But if you can get everybody on the same page, get people bought in, and especially get the players bought in. And then, like you said, we were the same way. We had some behind the scenes options that like, all right, hey, you're not going to play in this game today, but you're going to do this, this, and this at the complex. Like there are other ways to work around it. And that's the beauty of spring training, right? Is like you have a number of fields at your facility. You got minor league games going on. You got bullpens and cages, and you can do live BPs and you can do machine work. There are any number of things to kind of work around it. And I think providing those options to the players is really valuable, but being able to get everybody in a room and get them on the same page is really, really hard to do. And I commend you guys for doing that. And obviously it paid dividends in the end. And then the other thing, you know, Taylor, you talk about like understanding what the value of April is and understanding like, hey, we went from Florida to the West Coast for 2 weeks. And, you know, this upcoming season, like looking at the schedule, like we have a 19 game in a row stretch in April, right? So like we want guys to be prepared for spring training, but we also want guys to be prepared to get through April and to get through May. And then once they get into the routines, usually they're pretty set June, July, August, September, right? But planning not just for spring training, but also looking at that block of time. And we had the same thing this year. I think it was like 17 games in a row early on. We went to Toronto and Tampa, so back-to-back series on the turf. We had like 10 or 15 of those 17 games were like within the division, you know, some kind of crazy stretch. And you have to be able to plan not only spring training, but also for that as well, and the stress that that's going to bring. And, you know, for you guys going to the West Coast and like being in different time zones, like all of that gets factored into the program. And I don't think people appreciate that all the time or understand that all the time. So educating people, you know, within front office, coaching staff, players, whatever, on like, hey, this is why we're doing this, because when we get to here, like, this is going to be hell to go through. Like, we need you to be ready for this. And like, this is how we're going to mitigate the risk of injury. Like, I think all of that comes into play, and it sounds like you guys did an amazing job with it. I mean, I hope you guys don't do it too well, Wes. No offense. Like, I don't want to, I kind of want us to win the World Series next year too, but no. So going after spring training, you get through the lockout, you get the guys on the same page. Now you go through the season. Now you get this big playoff run. Like, talk to me. I mean, Taylor, you've been in the playoffs like every year since you got in. You guys are making deep runs. And Wes, this is your first year in the big leagues, and you get to experience, you know, the World Series and winning it right away. So let's talk about the playoffs. Let's talk about the excitement of the playoffs and managing just, you know, the chaos that is the playoffs. And, you know, it goes so quick. So let's just talk about the playoff run, and then we'll kind of just go from there with everything else.
I mean, Chris, you can speak a little bit to this, but like, the playoffs is a different animal. It's way different than the regular season. It's almost like you live and die by every single little pitch or every single play within the playoffs, because it can drastically change a game, a series, and ultimately the season. So stress is definitely involved. There's a lot riding on the playoffs, but it's a fun environment. It's fun to play in cold weather when you go up north in October, November. The fans and, you know, all the different ballparks are incredible. Everything's heightened. So, like I said, stress is definitely involved, but I always had to, you know, pinch myself, and I tell Wes the same thing, is you got to take a step back sometimes and just enjoy those moments, because that's what, you know, we work all year for. We put ourselves through a daunting schedule and travel schedule, and a lot of the personal life takes a hit because of, you know, the job. But that's what we, you know, work for, is, you know, October, November, having our guys play in those moments at, you know, the top stage in our sport. And, you know, you just enjoy it as much as you can.
For me, the one thing that made it really special was the year before this year, last year, because I was able to experience it. I was in the taxi squad, and I was able to see it from fans. I remember going to Chicago and then going to Boston and seeing all these crazy games. I was like, now this year, I'm there with the guys. You know, for me, I come from a really small country, so all I know here is Dominican winter ball team. So, you know, it was, for me, it was like, man, I'm really here. Especially when we started the playoffs, we had a three homer walk off against Mariners. That was unbelievable. Like, starting the playoffs like that, I believe that was the most important thing, that we got guys on the right track as soon as we play game one. So, but it's, Taylor is right, man. Sometimes you forget about stepping back and just think about the moment that you're living in. It's like a dream. Every year that you're in the playoffs, you know, I ask this question to our bench coach. He's been in the playoffs for a long time. So I asked him, like, do you get tired of going? And he was like, hell no. Every year, you know, I feel the same thing that I feel my first year. So for me, a dream come true, you know, being able to experience those with those guys. And my favorite playoff moment was the 18 inning game that we played in Seattle, that we almost ran out of water. Everything was crazy that day, but we enjoyed it. So that was my favorite playoff moment.
You guys got two full games worth that day. Absolutely, yeah. Crazy.
I'll say from an S&C standpoint, and Wes can agree with this, I know, because we've talked about it numerous times, but keep us on your toes, especially in a very intense moment like that, where, you know, you're one pitch away from walking it off or giving up the game or whatever, and playing 18 straight innings with everything on the line and guys cramping left and right because, of course, they're not fueling properly and that's not where their head's at. It makes you take a step back and be like, hey, we need to do our jobs and, you know, cater to these guys as much as we can and get them to do what we need to keep them performing. And by far, that was the most I've ever had to do from a nutritional and, you know, preparation standpoint, and our dietitian did a phenomenal job. Our ATCs did a phenomenal job, just everybody coming together and getting those guys, you know, through the finish line just for that one game.
Yeah. Even just watching it from afar, I was like anxious for that game. Right. It's like, like I said, I'm very close with Eric and just, you know, his first year in the big leagues and just talking to him throughout the playoffs and just what he's experiencing and how it's going for him and everything. And, you know, for me, 21 was my first year in the big leagues and we went to the ALCS, and just as soon as you guys eliminated us in Houston, you know, I went in the locker room and had talked to Yosh, and I was like, man, I couldn't have asked for a better first year. It's just, this was an awesome experience. And, you know, everybody's upset we didn't make the World Series, we didn't win it all, but, you know, for me, it was really a great experience to be able to see everything and be a part of it all. And like you guys said, just take a step back and, you know, this is what we worked for. And then on the flip side, this year, we didn't make the playoffs. And as soon as the season was over, Yosh and I sat down in the office and we were like, I never want to experience this again, right? Like, I don't want to go through everything that we go through in a season and not be able to play in the playoffs. And, you know, Wes, you said you talked to your bench coach and he said it always feels the same. And, you know, the opposite is true, man. Like, when you don't make it and you go through that full experience of the season and the grinding and just the travel and everything, and you see how, you know, how down the guys get and how much work, you know, they put into it, it's tough. And it's like, I only want to experience the playoffs from here on out. Like, I can't not experience it. And just, you know, obviously you guys got the ultimate win and you were able to experience that, you know, top of the mountain there. And it's a really cool experience and it's really fast and it goes by so quick. And I'm glad that both of you guys really took the perspective of like, hey, we need to just take a step back and like appreciate where we're at, because before you know it, it's gone. And, you know, I don't wish this upon you guys, but next year, like, maybe you don't make the playoffs and you're like, shit, man, I really miss what we had in 22. So it's something that for anybody that's listening and gets the opportunity to experience, like, don't take for granted being in the playoffs, because it, you may not be able to experience it again, and really step back and enjoy it. And at the same time, to your point, Taylor, like, still make sure that you're doing your job, right? Don't get caught up in it too much that you forget, like, we still have work to do. But again, you guys have a good group of veterans. They've been there before. You've experienced it all before. And you, I would imagine your clubhouse knew how to handle the adversity of the playoffs, right? And being able to come back and, you know, hit that homer late against Seattle and play the 18 inning game. And, you know, even in the World Series with the Phillies coming back, I think it was game one. And then the next couple of days, you guys just, you know, took care of business. You had the no hitter, like, having those veterans there that have been there and done that, I'm sure helped you guys a ton just to be able to navigate that.
Yeah, no doubt. Our veteran players and the guys in our clubhouse are a great group. And, you know, Wes and I will both tip our caps to them a million times because they help drive what we're preaching from an S&C standpoint. They only make our job easier. But yeah, our veteran presence and the players that we have in the clubhouse are definitely the reason that, you know, we've been able to do what we've done.
Dude, those guys, man, you can't say one bad thing about them. It's just they're so close and they love each other. And when you love each other, things like this happen. You know, like Dusty always says this, you know, like, you got to love each other as a player and as a staff. I mean, you're not going to get along with everybody, but you got to act professional and make sure that you got to, like, Taylor always tells me this. And sometimes I might like to repeat that to myself. I'm like, yeah, you got to be here for a long time with these people. So we got to make sure that we get along with everybody. So, but they're really good group of guys over there.
It takes so much more energy to, like, avoid somebody or be upset with them just because we're around them so much, instead of just like, all right, you know what, you win, like, I'll give in to you. Like, we just need to make this work because it's a long season. We need to get, like, we need to get along and all of that. And after the World Series, have you guys been able to take some downtime, relax, like, really soak in the magnitude of what you guys just did? Or has it just been like right back to work? We got business to take care of again next year.
No, I think we've taken a step back a little bit and, you know, relished in the moment. Obviously there's still work to be done for next year, and, you know, Wes and I are still doing things behind the scenes, but you know, our guys have started training again. We're training players. We're, you know, programming for guys. We're keeping in contact with guys. We're making sure they have supplements and everything that they need to be ready to go for next year. But yeah, I think as we get through this holiday season now, it's, you know, flip the page. What can we do to be ready to roll for 2023 and best set us up for another successful year?
Yeah, for me, actually, it hits me the most when I came home to see my parents. You know, my dad's a big baseball fan, so he got really emotional, and we talk about it. And it's something that, you know, I've been blessed with this, the Astros, that, you know, as a staff member, I've only been in one World Series, but I've been going to World Series since 2017. And, you know, this year was the first year when my parents went to a World Series game. So for me, that was, you know, huge. And just like, yeah, we're doing some things on the other side here, like training some guys at the complex and, you know, seeing some guys here and there, 40-man guys, and staying busy. But, you know, next month, it's going to get, all right, got to get on the mindset that we got to get rolling again. So, yeah, I've been able to enjoy it a lot. I can tell you that.
I'm glad you guys got to enjoy it. And Taylor, you know, we were talking off camera. I saw it on Instagram. You got engaged this off season. You're out in Hawaii. And Wes, I see you out in the Dominican hanging out with the family and everything. So I'm glad you guys are able to find some semblance of a work-life balance. I know it's not always easy with the schedule. And this World Series went really, really late this year. This was, you know, a very late World Series, you know, with a delayed start and everything. So anything that you guys are working on moving forward to get ready for 2023, either, you know, as individuals with your continuing ed or something with the group, or, you know, is it just business as usual for you guys?
I'd say most of it's just business as usual. I think we're both doing some continuing ed, just some, you know, little things here and there to, you know, better our craft as SNC practitioners. But yeah, I think we're, you know, full steam ahead for 2023, finding out, reflecting a little bit on what we did last year, finding out what we can do better, and making those adjustments for, you know, the new year and 2023 season. But I think, yeah, it's just full steam ahead. Let's get better as, you know, coaches, let's get better as a department, and keep pushing, you know, the Astros forward for 2023.
Same with me, just, you know, trying to stay busy a little bit, or trying to go to, I always think to myself that, you know, trying to show up to a spring training with at least one new thing or something new to try with the guys, and just, you know, not trying to change anything. Of course, we come from a great year, but just trying to bring some new things to the table and just enforce that and keep working with the guys and keep make sure that, you know, the standards and the consistency is what we want it to be.
Yeah, one big thing that we push, Chris, too, within our department and in our entire organization is just being on the cutting edge of everything. And so that's not only from, you know, a front office standpoint, but, you know, us as an S&C department as well, as staying on the cutting edge, whether it's research, whether it's continuing ed, whatever it is, being, you know, having all the available resources to help our players in any given way. I think that's what we try and do. And so we're always trying to learn, always trying to develop as a staff, but then also try and take new things to our players to help them maximize potential on the field.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things in spring training is like showing up, seeing those guys that you have relationships with, and then hitting them with a, hey, guess what I got? I got something new for you, man. We're going to try this. And they're like, dude, let's do it. Let's try it, right? And it's always, you know, you keep up with them in the off season and they tell you they're doing stuff and they send you videos or whatever, but until you really see them in person, then, you know, the whole thing changes, and then you can start really, you know, throwing some things at them. And, you know, again, for you guys being in the org as long as you have and being with a lot of those guys for a long time, I'm sure you have that good relationship with them that you can bring something new to them, or even, you know, you're reading something, you're like, oh, I know this guy's going to like that, or that guy's going to like that. Right. Like when I'm doing my own study and I'm like, this fits perfect with this guy. Right. And then having that relationship as long as you have, and just bringing that to them and, you know, being able to work through that with them, I'm sure it is a really, really big, like key to success for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of what we do in terms of trying to develop, like you said, is geared around certain individuals and what, you know, they've brought to us, or what, you know, the conversations that we've had or things that they like to do. And we kind of gear a little bit of our continuing ed to, you know, work towards improving that player individually. Obviously we do some things for the collective whole, but we also do a little bit of individualization of, you know, whether a guy likes PRI or FRC or whatever it is. I want to be able to go to him and be knowledgeable about what he likes to do and help him through these exercises. So we do a little bit of individualization in terms of continuing ed, but I think that's what makes us unique is Wes doesn't do the same thing as I do. And I don't do the same thing as, you know, other people in our organization. So we all bring a different set of tools and kind of work together to achieve the ultimate goal.
Guys, it's been awesome. I don't want to take any more of your time. And, you know, again, really, really, it was cool to watch you guys from afar. And I just want to say congrats to you guys. And, you know, from myself, from the PBS CCS, from all the other strength coaches in baseball, it was really, really cool to watch you guys and watch your run. And, you know, Wes, your first year in the big leagues, man, you made it to the top. And maybe it seems as easy as that. I don't know. before we sign off here, just any last words or anything that you guys got for us?
I'll just like to throw out there, appreciate the PBS CCS and all they do. Obviously another successful winter meetings out in San Diego. But without this, you know, organization supporting us as strength conditioning coaches, we wouldn't really have an area to go and to educate, you know, the public. But props to the PBS CCS for all they do. Thanks to you, Chris, for, you know, doing this podcast. I love watching them. I appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, brother. Thanks for everything that you do. I see you. You keep bringing material. When we were doing the season, you keep doing your thing. And that's really tough. People don't know that, but it's really tough to take the time to do it. And I really appreciate what you're doing and what you're doing for us and for all the S&C that, you know, that work in baseball and outside of baseball. So, you know, thank you. I really enjoy this. I always wanted to do this one. I remember talking to you a long time ago, but this is, you know, the perfect time. So thank you, brother.
Guys, I appreciate the support. And again, congrats to you guys and best of luck in 2023. And we'll see you guys when we play it either in Houston or in Boston.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Chris.
See you, bro.
All right, everybody, that's going to conclude part two of our two-part episode with Taylor and Wes. I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you enjoyed just, you know, hearing about the journey throughout the season and dealing with the lockout at the beginning, and then obviously the awesome playoff run that they had, and, you know, just the excitement of being in the World Series and ultimately winning it. So three things that I took from the guys in this part of the episode: find time to take a step back and appreciate where you're at. Celebrate your victories, but find ways to continually push yourself to be better, and communicate your plans clearly with staff and players to get everyone on the same page. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.